If you've ever travelled to a part of the world with poor sanitation, then you know you risk coming home with some very unwanted passengers in your gut. There's one particular parasite that's responsible for what's considered globally to be the most neglected tropical disease, strongyloidiasis. Never heard of it? Neither have many health clinicians. But this potentially fatal disease is endemic in many remote indigenous communities, with rates as high as 80%. Now state and federal governments are being lobbied to make it a notifiable disease, as Cathy Van Exel reports.
Like hookworm, strongyloides is a parasite that enters unbroken skin through contact with fecally contaminated soil, eventually making its way to the small intestine. Dr. Wendy Page is a specialist GP who's been working with remote communities for decades.
What happens is that strongyloides burrows into the lining of the gut, lays its eggs, and they become baby worms in the gut. Some of those will come out and there'll be an external life cycle where they will be looking for another host. Some of those rhabditiform larvae become auto-infective larvae that then can set off yet another cycle. So the auto-infective cycle is what makes strongyloides so different. That's why the XPOWs had it 40 years later.
It's not only surviving POWs who've been found to have strongyloides many years after infection. Those at risk include Vietnam veterans and other ex-servicemen and women, refugees and travellers who've picked up the parasite overseas. But strongyloides exists in Australia, and in some Indigenous communities, it's endemic. Jenny Shield from La Trobe University says there hasn't been enough research to put a figure on the prevalence of strongyloides, but in some communities, rates are extremely high.
The highest rate in a clinical setting where doctors are testing for strongyloides has been 80% for about 90 patients, and the highest by a survey in another place in the community for 370 people, it was 60%, but usually it's probably more in the 20s, so about one in five people might have it.
Fellow strongyloides researcher Adrian Miller is the Pro Vice Chancellor Indigenous Engagement with Central Queensland University.
In Australia, we haven't made a concerted effort financially or even at a public health level to really get rid of, or even to understand first and then to get rid of, a particularly easily treatable parasite.
Professor Miller says Australia is failing Aboriginal communities in allowing a preventable disease to flourish.
The World Health Organization recommends anything over 3% you must do community action, you know, a mass drug administration. So we've got levels well and truly above that in Australia. So in international communities, they do, you know, mass drug administrations for these types of things all the time. But in Australia, we seem to fail Aboriginal communities by not doing this.
Adrian Miller chairs a national working group formed by researchers around the country with an interest in strongyloides.
What we do know is that predominantly Aboriginal people suffer from it chronically and also have significantly more hospitalisations as a result of strongyloides, but we also see significantly more deaths as a result due to complications from strongyloides.
In the late 90s, it was the death of a colleague from strongyloidiasis that led Dr. Wendy Page to work with Miwach Health Aboriginal Corporation in NT's northeast Arnhem Land on a community-led response to the disease.
In 1999, a senior health worker and colleague passed away from disseminated strongyloidiasis, which put the profile up there about just how important strongyloides is and how important it is to prevent complications from strongyloidiasis.
In the years since, routine health checks for the community have included blood tests to identify the disease. As well as treatment, there are follow-up checks. And there were education campaigns for the community, as well as health clinicians who hadn't heard of the disease. Dr. Page says recent research shows there's been an improvement.
We've done some recent work in four different clinics. It's different in different communities. But what we've shown is we've had a 40% who were positive on testing during the time of testing overall. And then at follow-up, we've shown that you can halve that rate.
The Strongyloides Working Group is lobbying for the disease to be made a notifiable one. Adrian Miller says it's a step towards properly treating the disease.
The only way you get to understand the prevalence level is if diagnosis happens and then clinicians then report it as a notifiable disease. And therefore, then we get accurate data from clinicians that we know where these particular parasites are endemic or are infecting people, and that we know what level to treat it so we can provide appropriate resources. At this stage, we have very little baseline information.
The working group is particularly concerned about the lifetime health impacts of strongyloides on Indigenous children. Studies show the presence of worms can lead to a failure to physically thrive. Adrian Miller says it also impacts their ability to learn.
We're particularly concerned about children being infected and having an infection for a long period of time. And we don't really know, because we suspect that there's going to be some kind of impact on the immune system. When you have a worm load, for example, there's been some other studies that worm loads actually affect your performance in schools and your ability to concentrate in schools and your ability to basically learn. Our concern is really not knowing the true extent of infection within children.
The working group has approached a number of state health ministers who can bring a particular disease to the attention of the Commonwealth's Communicable Diseases Network. Wendy Page says making strongyloidiasis a notifiable disease would be an important step in tackling it, especially with children.
Well, if you make it notifiable, you raise the profile, you raise awareness for clinicians, because the clinical consequences are preventable. And you also identify where the hotspots are. Children shouldn't be getting strongyloides in Australia in this century, but they are. There are strategies that can be worked on to make that difference, but we need to be able to identify where those places are and for communities to be involved.
Very interesting. Specialist GP Dr. Wendy Page, ending that report by Cathy Van Extel. And we have sought a comment from the Federal Health Minister, Greg Hunt. Let's hope that we do hear a bit more about it from now on.